الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu mentions that when wahi used to come to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there would be a buzzing sound. And on one occasion, they were in Makkah when the sound had come and wahi was being received by Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And after this buzzing sound terminated, the Sahaba were waiting to see what would Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mention to them with regards to the revelation. And after Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam returned to his normal state, he then turned towards the Kaaba and he made the following dua: Allahumma zidna wa la tanqusna. O Allah, increase us and do not decrease us. Wa akrimna wa la tuhinna, and honor us and do not humiliate us. Wa a'tina wa la tahrimna, and grant to us and do not deprive us. Wa athirna wa la tu'thir alayna, and grant us preference over our enemies and do not let our enemies get an advantage over us. Warda anna wa ardina, and you be pleased with us and please us as well. And then he mentioned to the Sahaba that verily I have received 10 verses of the Quran, which if any of you lives by it in spirit and in reality, then he will surely enter into Jannah. And he recited the first 10 verses of Surah Al-Mu'minun. These were the very first verses that we recited in tonight's Taraweeh, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains the falah or the success of the believers. And he outlines 7 qualities, which if we bring into our lives, and which if they become the blueprint for our lives, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is guaranteeing us falah and success. What is the meaning of falah? Ulama mentioned that falah or success is that all of a person's desires are fulfilled and that all of the worries, difficulties and hardships of a person are removed. And Mufassirin also mentioned that true falah can only be achieved in the akhirah, where a person will be removed, or all of the person's worries, hardships and difficulties will be removed. What are these qualities? The first of them, الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. That person, he adopts khushu' in his salah. Ulama mentioned the meaning of khushu' is that the heart of a person is at complete ease in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that no thoughts knowingly come into his mind to distract him from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second quality, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِدُونَ. Those who turn away from futile things, from vain talk, from things that are of no benefit to both this dunya and akhirah. People who stay away from that, this is their quality. And we find in this day and age, especially when it comes to the social media, many of us are involved in many aspects of the social media, but as part of our social media profile, we receive various messages that are useless. And a lot of our time is wasted in reading and spreading these useless messages. The third quality, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاةِ فَاعِلُونَ. There are two opinions. One is that zakat here refers to those people who discharge zakah correctly and in full. And the second opinion is that it refers to tazkiyah, that is the purification of the soul. Those people who exercise the purification of the soul. And Mufassirin mentioned that both meanings are applicable in this context. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ. Something that is also very important in this day and time. Those people who protect their private parts. Those people who protect themselves from zina, except from those who are permissible for them. So we find in this day and age where immorality and immodesty are the order of the day, this is an important quality which if we bring into our lives, we will have complete falah. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَعَهْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ. Two qualities. Firstly, those people who discharge the responsibility of their trusts. Somebody entrusts you with something, you make sure that you bear that amanah correctly. And this extends to many, many different aspects. For example, somebody entrusts you with their child. Your child brings a friend home. This is an amanah. So it is your responsibility to make sure that while that child, that friend of your child is in your care, that you supervise and make sure that they do not do something that would be incorrect. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَعَهْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ. And the second quality, those who when they make a promise, they fulfill that promise. And وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَعَهْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ. Those who protect their salah. Those who ensure that the five daily salah, its fard, its nawafil, its wujub, they are discharged correctly for the males with jama'ah in the masjid and for the female at the correct time. These are the seven qualities which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentions that if a person practices upon them in spirit and in reality, then they will enter into Jannah. A person once asked Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha to explain to them with regards to the mannerisms and the behavior and the lifestyle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And she mentioned that his mannerism, his lifestyle, his approach was that of the Quran. And she recited these 10 verses and said that these 10 verses encapsulate the mannerism of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We then recited Suratul Nur. And Suratul Nur is a very important surah which highlights the chastity and the protection of the chastity of our woman folk. Umar radiallahu an issued a directive to the people of Kufa that you should teach your women folk Suratul Nisa. This particular surah deals not only with the chastity and the protection of the chastity, but it includes various laws and injunctions with respect to hijab, with respect to who are mahrams and who are non-mahrams, what are the punishments for those who engage in zina, what are the conditions to establish the punishment, the had of zina, which is a very serious matter. What is the condition or how do we treat those people who falsely accuse women who are chaste of being unchaste? How do we treat those people who accuse their wives of being unchaste? And what are the requirements of this? So this surah also deals with various aspects which protect our ummah and our community from fitna, from fasad, from obscenity, from lewdness. And we find that in this day and age, this is the order of the day. Lewdness, obscenity, behayai, this is the order of the day. And it is imperative that we read the surah, we study the surah, especially our mothers and sisters, so that we understand the laws of hijab, the seriousness of the laws of hijab, so that we understand the relationship between males and females. Wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives very clear injunctions. وَكُلِّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغْضُدْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَكُلِّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا أَبْصَارُهُمْ. That the men should lower their gazes, and that the females should also lower their gazes, and that the females should cover themselves. And there is one particular verse which I will highlight here, and then we will terminate, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights to us the etiquette of entering someone's home. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَدْخُلُوا بُيُوتَكُمْ غَيْرَ بُيُوتِكُمْ حَتَّى تَسْتَأْنِسُوا وَتُسَلِّمُوا عَلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. That all you who believe, when you are entering into a house other than your own, and other than your own in this case includes your own house where others reside, whether those are mahram or non-mahram, then there are two requirements: that you should make salam to the inhabitants, and that you should seek permission to enter into that home. You should make salam to the inhabitants, and that you should seek permission to enter. It is mentioned that when Umar radiallahu an would come to the door of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would say, As-salamu ala Rasulillah, ayadkhulu Umar. That As-salamu alaykum ya Rasulallah, is there permission for Umar radiallahu an to enter? When Abu Musa al-Ashari would enter upon Umar radiallahu an, he would make a similar announcement, that he would make salam and then he would say, هذا Abu Musa, هذا al-Ash'ari. That this is Abu Musa, and he would clarify Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. So we find that we should first make salam, and we should seek permission to enter, and we should notify the individual of who it is that is standing at the door. Mufti Shafi Saab mentions various benefits of this. Firstly, he says that our homes are places of relaxation and tranquility. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَاللَّهُ جَعَلَ لَكُم مِّن بُيُوتِكُمْ سَكَنًا. That we have made your homes an abode of tranquility. People are relaxed in their homes. They engage with their family members in an informal level. So if we enter into the home without notifying the person, we will disturb this tranquility of the person in the home.
Then we find that when a person comes to our door, by notifying them of who is there, who is at the door, the person inside understands how he is expected to react. Is it a male? Is it a female? Is it somebody of a certain stature? So he understands the manner in which he has to host the individual that is coming through. Then we find that it is a protection from obscenity. That perhaps there may be some ladies that are moving around in the home because this is their home, and certain parts of their bodies may remain uncovered. So if we enter into the home, it will be an embarrassment for us and an embarrassment for them. And finally, we find that sometimes people are engaged in certain activities at home, which are perfectly permissible, but they do not wish anyone else to know that they are engaged in these activities. They are doing something in solitude, perhaps the person is engaging in some ibadah, but he doesn't wish anyone to know. So by entering without announcing, we disturb the solitude of this person. So Islam is more than just a book of rules and laws. It's a total comprehensive way of life, wherein everything is there for our benefit. Mufti Shafi Saab then further mentions and adds on to this an important point, which is the etiquette of the telephone. And he says that the telephone is also an amana. We should not phone someone when we know that it is a time that they will be busy or they will be resting. Perhaps it's very early in the morning, or perhaps it's after Taraweeh or late at night. This is not an appropriate time to be phoning a person unless we have a very informal bond with that person. Or we know, for example, that that person is available at that time. Then the second thing is, when we phone somebody, then we should inquire whether it is a convenient time for us to talk to them. Sometimes we have a long bayan and a long masla, yet that person is busy with something, he's busy with someone, he's taken the call because perhaps he thought it's an emergency. So we should inquire, is it an appropriate time? If not, we should then say we will call back a little later. In fact, in the verse with regards to entering the home, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if the person within the home tells you not to enter and he tells you to leave, then you should not be offended. You should leave. This is better for you. فَإِنْ قِيلَ لَكُمْ رُجِعُوا فَرُجِعُوا هُوَ أَزْكَى لَكُمْ. That it is better for you if you leave, and you should not have any bad thoughts about that person. Perhaps it's an inopportune moment. And the same applies with the phone. But on the contrary, Mufti Shafi Saab explains that there is also a haq upon the person who is receiving the phone call. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that your visitors have a right over you. So we should not unnecessarily leave the answering of the phone if we are able to take it, because the person is phoning us, they may have something that they require of us, perhaps they require some assistance. And Mufti Shafi Saab writes that people are sometimes in the habit of letting the phone ring and ring and ring and not bothering about understanding. This too is also incorrect. And we can add on to that in conclusion, that in this day and age with social media, especially when it comes to the instant messaging and the WhatsApp platforms, etc., sometimes we are guilty, we send a message to somebody and we see there that, you know, last seen was in 2 minutes ago and we had sent the message to him 5 minutes ago. Why is the person not responding to me? You know, why is it that he's not sending my message? Or we see that the message has been delivered and it has been read, but perhaps an hour or two go by and he has not responded to us. This is also an amana. Perhaps that person is busy at that point in time. Accidentally, he may have opened the WhatsApp message, or he may have seen it and he's going to attend to it at a later time. Part of the etiquette is that we should not badger the person, we should not insist that the person responds to us, unless of course if it is an emergency. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.